Well, what a blessing the music has been tonight. I think we're going to just keep Canaan and Jeremiah here over the Sunday, you know, and we have to approve that with their preachers or pastors, but somehow I don't think that's going to happen, but it was a blessing to have them here tonight. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and look with me to the book of Joshua chapter 4, Joshua chapter 4. On Wednesday nights, we've been going through and preaching and teaching on the life of Joshua. And we've seen there's a lot the Bible has to tell us and to reveal to us about the life of Joshua that's outside the book of Joshua. We spent several messages and looking at the man Joshua and all what God prepared him and how he prepared him. And now he is the one in the book of Joshua that is going to lead the children of Israel into the promised land, to conquer the promised land, to receive the gift that God would give them of the promised land. And Joshua would be that leader that God would work through. And so there's been a whole lot there, and it's been a blessing. I trust it's been a help to you. They're at the Jordan River now. And we found that last week, understanding the two great water crossings for Israel, and what is symbolic with those, and we kind of studied some of that, understanding the Red Sea was the first, and that would represent their exodus from bondage, which would be symbolic of our salvation. Amen. Our exodus from a life of sin, the blood covering us. Amen. What a blessing. And then the second would be the Jordan River, which was their entrance into living in God's perfect will. What another great highlight. Too bad they had to spend 40 years in the wilderness. And people get saved, you don't need to stay in the wilderness after salvation. You need to experience the second great crossing, amen, the blessing of God, and that is entering into the will of God, the perfect will of God. So salvation, and then the time when you surrendered and you dedicated your life to serving Christ. What an experience. And I trust that all of us can remember back to those two great experiences of life. Remember when you got saved, and then remember when you finally surrendered. You don't necessarily surrender at salvation. You don't understand it all. You just have faith to believe and receive, and you get a gift of everlasting life. But when you understand it, then as a believer, then you surrender, dedicate yourself to God's will. So what a great thing, looking at those two great water crossings. And in both of them, we're going to find that God did something right after both crossings, and especially here in the book of Joshua chapter 4, because we're going to read actually the whole chapter. Go ahead and stand with me. We'll read this together. But God commands Joshua to lead the people to establish memorials. Very important that they remember what God did. Very important for us to remember what God has done for us in salvation, and then how he has led us to a life of filled with blessings in the will of God. Yeah. Chapter 4 and verse 1. And it came to pass when all the people were clean passed over Jordan, that the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, take you 12 men out of the people, out of every tribe a man, and command ye them, saying, take you hence out of the midst of Jordan, out of the place where the priest's feet stood firm, 12 stones, and ye shall carry them over with you, and leave them in the lodging place where ye shall lodge this night. Then Joshua called the 12 men whom he had prepared of the children of Israel, of out of every tribe of man. And Joshua said unto them, pass over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of Jordan, and take ye up every man of you a stone upon his shoulder, according unto the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean ye by these stones? Then ye shall answer them that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord when it passed over Jordan. The waters of Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. The children of Israel did so as Joshua commanded, and took up 12 stones out of the midst of Jordan, as the Lord spake unto Joshua according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, and carried them over with them unto the place where they lodged, and laid them down there. And Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of Jordan, and the place where the feet of the priests which bear the ark of the covenant stood, and they are there unto this day. For the priests which bear the ark stood in the midst of Jordan until everything was finished that the Lord commanded Joshua to speak unto the people, according to all that Moses commanded Joshua, and the people hasted and passed over. It came to pass when all the people were clean passed over that the ark of the Lord passed over, and the priests in the presence of the people. The children of Reuben and the children of Gad and the half tribe of Manasseh passed over armed before the children of Israel, as Moses spake unto them. About 40,000 prepared for war passed over before the Lord unto battle to the plains of Jericho. On that day the Lord magnified Joshua in the sight of all Israel, that they feared him as they feared Moses all the days of his life. And the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, command the priests that bear the ark of the testimony that they come up out of Jordan. Joshua therefore commanded the priests, saying, come ye up out of Jordan. It came to pass when the priests that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord were come up out of the midst of Jordan, and the soles of the priests' feet were lifted up unto the dry land, that the waters of Jordan returned unto their place and flowed over all his banks as they did before. And the people came up out of Jordan on the 10th day of the first month and encamped in Gilgal in the east border of Jericho. Those 12 stones which they took out of Jordan did Joshua pitch in Gilgal. And he spake unto the children of Israel, saying, when your children shall ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean these stones? Then ye shall let your children know, saying, Israel came over this Jordan on dry land. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of Jordan from before you until ye were passed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up from before us until we were gone over. Verse 24. That all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that ye might fear the Lord your God forever. And let's pray. Father, we bow before you again. We thank you for the opportunity to be in church. Pray that you'd continue to bless, Lord, and open up our hearts and our minds to receive everything that you have for us through the services here tonight. For this we ask in Jesus' name, amen and amen. You may be seated. So God commands Joshua, it's Joshua's time to establish memorials. When they come through the Red Sea, it was Moses who was to lead Israel. It was his time to lead the people to establish memorials. In every generation that God has worked in our midst, it's up to us to establish memorials so that we might remember and not forget. Verses 1 through 3, we find here that after crossing over the Jordan, the first thing that God told Joshua to do was to establish memorials. One of the first things. Even before they crossed over Jordan, God had Joshua to pick the 12 men in preparation. If you look back to chapter 3 and verse 12, and if you looked at and studied this as we did, that verse 12 is somewhat out of order right here, but it's not when you understand why he did it even before. He was preparing Joshua to be able to establish the memorials even before God parted the Jordan River. And he says in verse 12, now therefore take you 12 men out of the tribes of Israel, out of every tribe a man. So he's already planted this in Joshua's heart and mind. Joshua was already aware of those in whom he would choose, but he did this even beforehand because it was important to God. And it was important to God because he knows it's important to humanity. It's very important that we establish memorials in our own lives. And we're aware of the memorials that God has established from the beginning of time. And He has done that for us. According to God, memorials are vitally important to the welfare of His children. So the first thing I want to look at here as we study this and look at this is the purpose. The purpose for memorials. And I know that just a few weeks ago we preached on Memorial Day, but this is something different tonight. Somewhat of the same idea as having established memorials. But we find here that the purpose for biblical memorials as a nation, yeah, we have established memorials, and we should never forget our history. If Satan can block us and blind us to our history, he can change whatever he wants to change in our society. We had better hold on to our history, and the way to hold on to your history is to remember. Yeah. Well, here tonight we're looking at biblical memorials, the purpose for them. Chapter 4, look at verse 6 and 7. That this may be a sign among you. Something they would see as a sign to remember. This may be a sign among you that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, "What mean ye by these stones?" Then ye shall answer them that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it passed over Jordan, the waters of Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. The obvious purpose for memorials: to be encouraged to remember. To be encouraged to remember who God is and what God has done, is doing, and will do based on who God is. The obvious thing as well, and the reality of it is, if we don't remember, we will forget. Yeah. The book is Psalms 106, and let me just read this to you. You can write it down, but in Psalms 106 and verse 9, and the psalmist here is talking about the Red Sea memorial, the Red Sea parting, but he says in Psalms 106, and I think that they can relate, both of them can relate to, we can relate to, verse 9 says, "He rebuked the Red Sea also, and it was dried up. So he led them through the depths as through the wilderness. And he saved them from the hand of him that hated them, and redeemed them from the hand of the enemy. And the waters covered their enemies. There was not one of them left. Then believe they his words, and they sang his praise." When you truly remember and you truly believe history and you understand it, you're going to praise his name. Yeah. They soon forget. The very next verse, verse 12, "They believed they his words, and they sang his praise because they remembered and they believed. They soon forgot his works, and they waited not for his counsel." You don't want counsel if you don't believe in God. "But lusted exceedingly in the wilderness and tempted God in the desert." When you don't remember, that's what happens. Because you forget. "They forgot God, their Savior, which had done great things in Egypt." God's done great things. If you're saved here tonight, God's done great things in your life. You might have been blinded to it, and you might be, might not remember it as you should, but God has done great things for you. God has done great things for us as a nation. God has done great things for us as a church. God has done great things for us as a family. We need to remember those things. Yeah. That's a purpose. We decide what we want to remember. It's a decision. And what we want to block out. Because if you decide you want to remember something, you work on it. You work on it. If you want to remember your anniversary date, you do something that's going to remind you at least a few days before it takes place. If you want to remember something and you see the necessity of remembering something, then you're going to do whatever you need to do to remember. And it's choosing to remember. And if we choose to remember, then we work on remembering. If we don't want to remember it, then we can block it out of our minds. Before you know it, you replace that memory with another memory that you want to work on. And you don't want to work on that which you don't want to remember, and you block it out for long enough, and it will go away. Wow. When I preach funerals, I want to encourage the family, and I tell them almost every time, remember the good. Now, reality is we all have bad memories. To a certain extent, there's certain things in our past that we wish we could change. But when you lose that loved one, block out every bad memory you've ever had. Because remembering bad things will only hurt you as you live life. So block out, put all those bad things or the negatives and do this. Realize now they see things more clearly than they've ever seen them before, and they would probably not do those bad things if they were here today, and they're rejoicing and excited about you looking and remembering every good thing. Because that's what's going to encourage you, is to be able to enjoy the memories, the past memories of the life that that person lived and how God brought them into your life to be a blessing to you. And you can do that because you choose what you remember. Work on remembering the good. Block out the negative. I tell people, you're always going to have relationships that go bad. And one of the things that we need to do in handling relationships that have gone bad, remember the good in that relationship. There might not be a whole lot of good in that relationship that went bad, but I guarantee you, if you want to find something, you can find something. And even in that bad relationship that went bad, there is something that you can remember that can be an encouragement to you to remember when you think of that individual. It's important. God says it's important that we remember who God is. And what he's done for us. Yeah. The purpose. What to use to establish memorials. What to use. In chapter 4 and verse 5 and 6, we find here that Joshua was instructing them to use stones out of the Jordan River to remember the miracle of God drying up and allowing his people to walk across on dry ground of the Jordan. The stones, something associated with the will of God. What to use to establish memorials. When it comes to biblical memorials, something associated with the will of God. In verse 6, he says here, when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean ye by these stones? What is the connection?
What is the connection with what you have set up as a memorial and these stones? Where'd they come from? What are they? And God told him to use something that was helping them to think back to this Jordan River experience, to the miracle that it was for God to dry up the Jordan River, to stop the waters from flowing down right at the Passover of Jericho and allow them to walk over on dry ground. So what mean ye by praying in the house? When that child gets old enough to say, Dad, why is it we don't eat before you pray? And something that will remind them of why we pray, a memorial, could be as simple as a making sure that you pray before you eat. And I know sometimes it can be. It can be, if you don't understand all that's going on there, it can be somewhat monotonous because we eat so much. But especially when you have a family get together, a family sit down meal, and you ought to eat with your family. And when you have a family sit down and you pray, and that little one says, Dad, why did you do that? What is that? And it's somewhat used as a memorial to be able to say, well, the reason that we pray is because we believe that God provides for us. And we're giving God the praise and the thanksgiving for everything that we have, because without God, we have nothing. And that little mind starts working. Yeah, maybe that's why. The minds are not working that way today. We take the prayer out of schools. Take the prayer out of home. I don't even know what prayer is. We failed in establishing a memorial. Yeah. What mean ye by that book that you're always reading? One of my fondest memories of my grandmother Rainey is I went up to her and she was sitting in a rocking chair and I was just a little guy and she had her Bible. And I said, Grandma, what is that book that you read? I did. She said, this is God's Word. And I said, have you read all of that? In my mind, I'm thinking, no one could read that much. Can I tell you? I remember that. That impacted my life. You don't have your Bible reading. If you don't let your children see you reading the Bible, you'll never have that question asked. What do you use? What do we use to establish memorials? Church attendance. Why is Sunday? Why can't we go to the lakes on Sunday? Why can't I stay here and play on the playground on Sunday? Why is it that we have to go to church? And to start with, it is a have to go to church. Because they don't know any better. But when they ask, why? Because it's a memorial. It's remind us that there is a living God. And Jesus Christ established his church. And he gave us the first day of the week to acknowledge his resurrection. Every Sunday is Resurrection Sunday. And when they ask you about that memorial, because you go to church every Sunday morning, and they ask you, and you can look at them and say, this is the reason. And this is something I want you to remember. Sundays are the Lord's day. I think we're failing maybe there because we're going to the lakes. We're going to somewhere else. We're not showing the importance.
of a memorial. Something associated with the will of God. What about clothes? Clothes ought to remind us of gender and modesty. Do you know the clothes that you wear before your children? And the clothes that you buy to put on your children can be a memorial? Something that would get them to ask you why? And to remember why you dress the way that we want you to dress, because you're a girl. You don't have to wait till you get 13 years old to find out that you're a girl. You don't have to wait till you're 13 years old to find out that you're a boy. No, I'm going to raise you because I'm going to raise you dressed like a girl if you're a girl. I'm going to raise you to dress like a boy if you're a boy. We're not doing that. Christians aren't doing that today because you got to model it. Ouch. Because modesty. First, let me read to you know the verse. It's nothing new. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you. When you get saved, your body becomes the temple. God lives in you. That's why you'd wear these kind of clothes. Yeah, because God made you who you are. And God wants you to rejoice in who you are. And God wants you to honor him in who you are and glorify him in who you are. Don't think you'd be better off to be something that you're not. For you are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Do we dress ourselves as the body of Christ, knowing who I am? Yeah. What to use to establish memorials? The things associated with the will of God in every area. Go back with me, and I gotta move on here. I could spend a lot longer there, but we won't. Places to establish memorials. Now, we've already worked on that just a little bit here. I think the home, church. Here we find there's actually two memorials established here, two places. Doesn't say a whole lot about the first, but it would be in the Jordan River. When the waters would come back, the stones would be covered up by the Jordan River. But God instructed him to build a memorial in the Jordan River. Verse 9. And she said unto the men, let's go back over. Chapter 4, verse 9. And Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of Jordan, right in the middle of it. In the place where the feet of the priests which bear the ark of the covenant stood, and they are there unto this day. By the writing of the scripture, when Joshua was writing the book of Joshua, we find that they were there until when Joshua was writing about this. It was there for a purpose. It was in the Jordan River. And then the next place would be in Gilgal, verse 19 and 20. And the people came up out of Jordan of the 10th day of the first month and encamped in Gilgal in the east border of Jericho. And those 12 stones, these are hefty stones, at one stone per representative. And Joshua knew that they would have to carry this very heavy rock. And so he probably picked 12 weightlifters, amen, somebody that could carry a very big heavy weight.
And so it says here, and they encamped in Gilgal in the east border of Jericho, and those 12 stones which they took out of Jordan did Joshua pitch in Gilgal. Strategic places where the people would occupy. Wherever the people were, they needed to be memorials established to remember what God wanted them to remember. Jordan is where it happened. Even though when they would go there, they couldn't see it, they could possibly see the ripples of what was underneath. You know, when you see rivers flowing, you'll see the ripples of, and they might have asked, why are those ripples there? But it was the place that it happened. You know, I have in my mind a memorial in a third grade Sunday school classroom where the Spirit of God convicted me about my salvation. And I was broken from within inside. I started weeping as an eight-year-old boy. And that Sunday school teacher, Brother Gore, came to me. I remember his name. I remember the Sunday school class. He came up to me, and he led me to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Right there where it happened, I've got that in my memory. I work on keeping it in my memory by preaching it to you every chance I get. I work on keeping that in my memory by just realizing that I'm saved. And if I ever doubt my salvation, I go back to the place that it happened. It's a memorial. It helps me to remember I got saved, and it's in my mind. I know exactly where it was at because I worked on remembering that. The other place was Gilgal. This would become the headquarters for Israel while conquering the land. Gilgal. They set up headquarters there in Gilgal. Every time they would conquer a city, they would come back. And they would have to look at the memorial before they would go to the next city. That's where they lived. You have a memorial set up where you live? Our homes should be established, decorated, furnished with memorials. Memorials designed to encourage our children to ask. I can't understand the mentality of some people to let their teenagers put up all this ungodly filth on their walls and say, well, just keep it in your room. Do you understand what you're doing? You're allowing them to establish the wrong kind of thinking even in the structure of your home. You can't expect for them to think right if you have not raised them with memorials concerning what's right and what's right with God. If it's not right with God, it's not right. Raise them in the nurture and admonition. Raise them in a home that is filled with memorials established, decorated, furnished to get them to ask why. Lastly, who was to be the ones to explain these memorials to the next generation? What is the most important voice in the world? Preacher? Sunday school teacher? Guarantee it's not the president. Anyone in politics, it's dad, it's mom. Who did God want to establish and explain the memorials to the next generation? Chapter 4, verse 6. That this may be a sign among you that when your children ask their fathers,
in time to come, what mean ye of these stones? Then ye shall answer them. Give them a biblical understanding for everything that you have done and established in your home. Verse 21. And he spake unto the children of Israel, saying, when your children shall ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean ye these stones? We find it twice right here in chapter 4. Then ye shall let your children know, saying, Israel came over this Jordan on dry land. The instructions from parents is what's most important in the raising of a child. We could only get people to understand that. And yet we have so many parents more concerned about their jobs and their fun and their things that they ignore the most important ministry that they have been given by Almighty God. That is to raise them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And that will impact the next generation. Tremendous truths from God telling Joshua, establish memorials. I trust that we'll do the very same things. If I could have every head bowed tonight. That all the people of the earth, that's how he ends it in chapter 4, that all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty. All the people of the earth. Wow. Father, we bow before you tonight. Love you. Thank you for the truth of your word. I trust, Lord God, that we have received it and we will understand what we need to do individually and collectively as families and as a church to establish memorials that you would have us to establish for ourselves, for the generations to come. Bless now in this invitation. In Jesus' name, amen.